This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. This is episode number 143, and my name is Derek Gallimore. So today we are joined by Mike Santos of PhilExec Search Solutions. This is an HR company, a recruitment HR company, and Mike is a seasoned recruitment and headhunting professional. He's been working in the game since 2004. As we discuss, obviously recruitment has been around for a hell of a long time, but in respect to outsourcing, since 2004, he's seen a lot of kind of evolution. So it's an interesting conversation, and I'm sure you will enjoy too. If you want to get in touch with Mike or know any more about the show, then go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/143. Enjoy. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Today, I'm joined by Mike Santos of PhilExec Search Solutions. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Yeah. Hi, Derek. Doing good.
Right. And so, Mike, we have actually crossed paths a number of times in Manila. Mike actually used to do recruitment for my old company, and we have a lot of mutual friends. So that is the sort of nature of how small Manila can be sometimes. But Mike, I suppose initially.
That is true.
Would you just be able to introduce yourself and let us know a little bit about PhilExec Search Solutions?
Sure. All right. So, hi, everyone. So, basically, I have been in recruitment, you could say, since 2004. So, that has been quite a while. I started actually as a headhunter and then, you know, went back to an internal recruitment type of work. And then at the end of the day, you know, decided, you know, I want to be a headhunter, you know, just servicing and helping out clients who basically need their recruitment needs. So now currently I'm actually the general manager of PhilExec Search Solutions. So basically, you know, it's a bit of a small company, so it's still hands-on. So I do recruitment, a bit of business dev, a bit of finance and also, yeah, doing different types of work for all. But yeah, so you see, that's who I am, and that's what's been happening right now.
Great. Okay, so, and just to, I suppose, encapsulate that for our listeners, you are a recruitment firm, and you deal with both, you know, standard domestic recruitment, but then also recruitment for BPOs, and I imagine as well recruitment, like executive recruitment and recruitment for expats and to, you know, manage teams and stuff like that. I know also that you worked with a sort of mutual friend company or Manila Recruitment as well, which, you know, and from what I understand, they specialize in executive recruitment and also recruitment for BPOs and foreign companies and things like that. So I would like to get your perspective, and you've been working in this for 14 years now. Recruitment has obviously been around forever, but in terms of the BPO sector, 14 years is quite a long time. Can you give me your thoughts on, you know, how things have evolved in recruitment and also the job sector for Manila and the Philippines in that time?
Yeah, well, I guess with the recruitment sector, it has changed a lot. I mean, ever since we actually started in 2004. Again, in terms of, I guess when we started, it was still taboo in other companies. There are some who weren't really that open, or you could say really engaging to hire an executive search firm. Sometimes they're a bit afraid in terms of, say, why would they need our help? So that's basically the initial thoughts of other companies. And then with us, I mean, obviously there are different tools, there are different ways in terms of getting people. For example, with the BPO sector, obviously they needed help fast. Obviously, for example, when they came in, they need, let's say, for example, on a weekly basis, they need maybe 50, 70 people. And obviously their internal team won't be able to manage that. So that's where the need of a headhunter, or you could say an executive search firm, will, that's where they come in. So it actually helps a lot of companies. At the same time, you know, that started people, you know, why not putting up their own? And some people joining those firms and, you know, they'd be able to contribute vastly for the headhunters or for the BPO companies. And, you know, that's where, you know, initially they started just one, two top BPOs. And then now you could see almost everywhere in Manila, there's just a lot of BPO companies now growing just like mushrooms. So, yeah.
Yeah, and BPO companies, you know, and certainly in comparison to companies in the West, have mm-hmm. phenomenal numbers of staffing, you know, and employees.
Yeah.
And also when they get a new client on or an account, mm-hmm. they very often have to ramp up incredibly fast. You know, and we're talking mm-hmm. BPOs with 40,000 people, and a new account might require, yeah. you know, 100 or 200 people in a month. Mm-hmm. Have you been involved in a big scale up like that? And can you give us some insight into you know, how that possibly happens?
Yeah, I guess in the past I had some experience with that. Obviously there's a lot of planning involved. There's a lot of trial by error. I mean, with that pool, you just have to actually, how shall I say this? Reverse engineer, let's say, for example, if they need this number of people, you have to reverse engineer how many people you actually have to get in touch to close that one.
Mm.
So if you know that amount, you know, you more or less have an idea on how many people you need to actually do the recruitment itself. So that's one of the things that, you know, the people tend to think about during any start of a recruitment drive for that massive amount of requirements.
Yeah, it's incredible, huh? And mm-hmm. I suppose, and I just couldn't fathom it, you know, both in terms of reaching out and the recruitment, but then also onboarding and training. But it happens
yeah.
so mm-hmm. commonly, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And also for seasonal functions like Christmas and customer support and sales support mm-hmm. in the bigger retailers yeah. and things like that. It's really mm-hmm. quite massive. So, and, you know, if you go back to 2004, I've spoken to many a BPO manager, executive, mm-hmm. and they compared the job prospects and kind of executive careers of BPO versus the traditional domestic professions in Manila, Philippines. Mm-hmm. And back in 2004, and even now today, there was quite a stark difference in terms of salaries and opportunities. You know, it wouldn't mm-hmm. be uncommon that you could maybe earn twice as much within a BPO as you uh-huh. could within a domestic mm-hmm. firm. Did you notice that within your own recruitment career? Was that sort of always the stark difference, that BPOs would pay more than domestic firms?
Well, I guess during the start, I mean, you could say it's more lucrative in terms of, let's say, for example, if you're just, you know, a fresh graduate, you know, if you compare, let's say, your starting salary compared to, let's say, somebody who's doing a regular job compared to, let's say, you're in a BPO sector or an agent, you know, there will be, say, additional pay. So, you could say almost double, maybe around 50 to 80% increase to what you're currently getting. But obviously, on there will be a difference in terms of the work, also, and maybe work schedule and all. Some people, you know, just decide to, you know, I want to earn more, so I'd rather go to the BPO. But at the same time, I think there's more exposure, more international exposure per se. I guess they prefer working for a big multinational company is one advantage for a BPO company. There's a lot of actually also advantages in terms of, you know, your career path if ever you do decide to do that type of work.
Right, right. And are you seeing a lot of crossover now from seasoned industry executives moving across into BPO, and then also the other way from BPO into, you know, domestic industry? Or is it more of a one-way track, or is it completely sort of interchangeable? How do the sort of industries sit side by side?
Yeah, I guess it is interchangeable. I mean, in terms of the work, it's, you could say it's similar. I guess the only difference for that is, you know, if in a BPO, it's more of, you know, working for an international company where you know, maybe time zone will be a bit different. But in terms of the role, in terms of the function, it's very similar. There are a couple of people that I've actually interviewed, and you know, they're actually very open or working to a B2B company. I guess it's for me, there isn't really much difference. It's more of, let's say, your preference in terms of working for what specific company, or maybe the opportunity. So I think, yeah, not too much different for that one.
Right. And what are the sort of hot jobs in Manila at the moment? Like, you know, if you're in Silicon Valley, obviously it's kind of tech. If you're in London, it's probably banking. You know, and what are the things that kind of, you know, Ivy League kind of graduates aspire to in Manila?
Okay, in Manila, across all industries,
yeah.
I guess one, obviously, BPO is still there on top. Second would be IT. A lot of IT requirements now, most especially with the big data coming in, there's actually new positions or new titles or new positions that are actually becoming hot, in the sense that there's actually more demand rather than in supply. And then going back to BPO, you could say the top requirements would be bilingual or multilingual agents. There are, let's say, we've encountered people who are looking for Spanish-speaking agents, Portuguese, French, Mandarin, Japanese. So, you know, they could see, or they could see, that there are actually people who know these languages in the Philippines. So they actually bring in the talent or bring in the requirements here. So yeah, basically BPO and IT would be the strong ones right now.
Right, okay. Yeah, and are you seeing many, because the Philippines, obviously English is almost first tongue, or you know, certainly as good as, and very culturally aligned. But what is the opportunity for third languages, like, as you say, Spanish or Cantonese or different European languages?
There are opportunities here, and you know, if ever you know a third language like that, it actually works your advantage, because they actually pay at a very high premium. For example, if you're, because let's say, besides the Mandarin speaking, they need, let's say that specific language that has a background in accounting, or maybe has a background with a specific skill. So when you bring in your third language, it actually gives you a premium. For example, it could pay you as much, maybe 100% increase to what you are actually earning. So, and at the same time, it doesn't need to be a local or a Filipino, but there are even some actually non-Filipinos who go to that job. So, you know, it brings different people or different nationalities in Manila for those opportunities.
Right, yeah, because it's kind of weird, yeah. Like, everyone just assumes that outsourcing is in English, but there are so many other Western developed countries that don't speak English and really could benefit from outsourcing as well. And
exactly. So, facilities, you know, it's not just the English speaking English country. So they, you know, other countries, they actually could foresee, you know, maybe some Filipinos could learn or actually speak the language. So why not bring in here? So yeah, that's what has been happening now.
Absolutely. Okay, fantastic. And I want to get you back to discuss PhilExec's search solutions a little bit more, but can you just give us an outline of PhilExec? You've been going since about 2013, is that right? And you specialize in everything, or it's executive recruitment?
Yeah, it's specialized in different requirements. I mean, obviously, executive is still there on top. We specialize actually on IT, on finance, and in manufacturing. So those are, well, the reason for that is my recruiters actually are, you know, they have a good grasp of network of the people in that industry, but we're open to other industries as well. I mean, nowadays, with recruitment, you know, I guess the only advantage right now or at this time is, you know, social media, the internet and all, there's actually everything in the internet that you could actually find people. Back in my days when I started, you just have to know, you know, how to cold call, how to actually headhunt people in their own office or in their own company. Now it's actually much easier to tap into people.
it's all changed now, hasn't it? All changed.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Okay, thanks so much. And I want to get you back, of course, to talk more about FlexAct and also recruitment and how that can be applied to people listening, whether it's like expats or people setting up BPOs or people that want to build teams. But in the meantime, Mike, if people want to get in touch with you or FlexAct, how can they do that?
Sure. You could actually use our email. It's hello at felixsec.com, or my email address is mike@felixsec.com. So it's easier to contact me or contact the company.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you, Mike. And we'll also put the URL for the website there. And of course, all of that will be in the show notes. Thanks so much, Mike.
All right, thank you.
That was Mike Santos of FlexAct Search Solutions. If you want to get in touch with Mike or know any more about FlexAct, then go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/143. And of course, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.